is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Miller Lite.
These are good times around Halas Hall this week. Bears coming off that huge Monday night football victory against the Cowboys and getting set to visit Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars on Sunday. Zach Zaidman pleased to be joined by a couple of members of the Bears defensive line, the veteran Moby Okoye and the rookie Shay McClellan. It's going to be interesting to hear the differences between the two as the show kind of transpires here. Shay making his first appearance on the program. Tell him what he's in store for him, Obi.
He's in store for a lot of fun and a lot of surprises, too.
Yeah. How about this? And Shay, I don't know everything about your background. We'll find out a little bit as the show kind of goes on here. But I will bet you didn't know this about Moby Okoye. So he's born in Nigeria. Comes to the United States at a young age, what age, 5?
12.
12. Yeah. So at the age of 12 to Alabama, it's a culture shock.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't as big as, you know, moving to New York or Chicago, but Alabama still was like, okay, all right, get it.
and Moby can make a case for being the smartest bear in the locker room, and that's not an exaggeration. Had a choice. This is what his college choices came down to this: Louisville, Harvard.
Yep.
And he went with a football school.
Yep. My dad wanted me to go to Harvard. I told Dad, you know, I love it. You know, he respected my decision wherever I went, but he was pushing for Harvard. But
you're a biology major.
Yeah, and you know, my high school went to Louisville for camp every summer, 3 summers in a row. I got used to it. It's only 3.5 hours away from Huntsville, Alabama. So it made all the sense to go and go out there and just play. And then we were changing conferences, and you know, it was a great time. I enjoyed it. I love going to U of L.
Now, at what age did you start college? Because you jumped grades quickly. You come to the United States at the age of 12,
right?
And then your schooling went to another level at that point.
Well, when I came here, obviously, you know, I was young, and they wanted to push me back to middle school because they felt like that was, you know, where I needed to be. But I fought and argued with the principal and told her that, you know, I was supposed to be in high school and to give me a chance. And so I struck a deal with her, which was that, you know, I would keep me in high school for 2 weeks, and depending on how I perform, would let me know if I stay or go. And after the 2 weeks, you know, the classes she put me in, I kind of already took them. And so she was like, okay, you did good, so you can stay.
Think about that.
So wait, yes. My sophomore year in Louisville, mm-hmm. for our bowl game, guess who we played?
Who did you play? Boise State.
State, yep. Yeah.
How about that? And you know, back then, I believe Moby was, what, 15 years old? I
mean, nah.
15, 16.
I was 17 then, 17. Yep.
Yeah. So how many years had you played football at any level by the time you were a sophomore in college?
That's 4 years, because I started – actually, in 5 years. I started playing second semester of my freshman year in high school. So, I played really 3 years in high school, and then my freshman year in Louisville. And then sophomore year, I started – that's when I started I started to start.
Started to start on the D-line. But wait, right. Hold on. Before we get to because there's so much here, I want to give people a comparison here between Moby Okoye and Shay McClellan. When did you start playing football at any level?
I think it was about sixth grade.
Yep. Yeah, so sixth grade.
A little bit earlier.
And then but you had watched football before then. You knew about the sport, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, that wasn't the case with Moby. So So how were you discovered, quote-unquote, in high school?
One of my teachers was a substitute for my homeroom teacher, and one of my coaches was a substitute for my homeroom teacher, and he was like, took a look at me and said, you should come play football. And one of my best friends till today then was playing football, and he was like, nah, you don't want to come out there, you know, you won't handle it, you get broke. And I was like, what? you get broken. And I was like, all right, I'm coming out there. I'm giving it a try. My parents already want me to do some kind of extracurricular activity because they felt like I was getting obese. So, you know, it was a way to, you know, use one stone to kill two birds. And I went out there, and it was rough because it was off season.
Right.
So it was off season workouts, and you know, like really, I had been eating a lot. I started getting real fat, and as you know, I still definitely had a strong accent then, and they used to always joke on me because when we were running, I would say, "Coach, coach, I can't breathe."
So you were sucking wind early. But here's the thing, and I heard this, and tell me if I'm wrong on this. I heard that, you know, because the coach wanted you to get more acclimated to football, he said, why don't you go play Madden?
Yeah, because when I came out there, my friend was a wide receiver.
Right.
And so, I was up for the challenge. I went out there, and I told him, that I want to play wide receiver. And he's like, just go over there with those guys over there. And obviously, those are big guys.
Right.
All out in the D-line. And then we were playing jet football, ultimate football, and that's how it started. And I would just be messing up. And he was like, you play Madden playing video games? Yeah, you should go play Madden. And you learn more about football playing
he did.
Madden.
He became the youngest player to ever be drafted in the NFL.
Yep. That's yep. crazy. Yep.
That is crazy.
And he's going to play. I believe you're going to be playing the team that drafted you for the first time since you left them.
Yeah, we're playing the Texans, and they're doing great. You know, undefeated right now, and you know they're playing great ball. That should be a real good game amongst us. But obviously we have to defeat Jacksonville first. So
we're with Amobi Okoye and Shea McClellan here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So Shea, I'm guessing everything that happened when you were a kid is a little bit more tame compared to the way I'm also guessing, just looking at you, you were never really obese, right?
No, not really. I was a little bit chunky in middle school, but not too much.
You got it together. All right, we're going to talk about this defensive line and what you guys have done really since the beginning of the season. It really is an unbelievable story, and it's fueling the defense because all those takeaways, they don't happen by accident. They start up front. So we'll talk about that next with both Shea McClellan and Amobi Okoye on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Subway, Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago, and Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. So is this, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zaveman, pleased to be joined here at Hallis Hall by Amobi Okoye and Shea McClellan. Let's talk about what happened Monday night. I know you guys have to move forward, and you're already, all your thoughts are on Jacksonville, and we'll get to the Jaguars in a bit. But that was a pretty special performance against the Cowboys on all levels, all three phases, in my opinion. Would you agree?
Certainly. I think, you know, defensively we came out and we got the ball first. I mean, they had the ball first and started it off right. And offensively, those guys played great. And they made a lot of explosive plays that, you know, makes you, as a fan and as a spectator, definitely got you up out of your seat jumping. You know, that Devin Hester's catch. Cutler escaping out of the pocket and throwing the ball, you know, just as a defense sitting on the bench and watching that too, you know, it gives you goosebumps, and once you go out there and play more and, you know, do your part. So it was a great game. A lot of people still talk about it till today, like, you know, like you said. And I still have a friend of mine watched the game again with his son last night because they're big Dallas fans, but, you know, he knows me, and he watched it again, and he was like, what a performance by, you know, the whole team in general. And so it was great.
Now, if I know Rod Marinelli, he wasn't throwing bouquets after the game because he's always looking for an edge. So you're never perfect. You strive for perfection. You never quite get there. So what are the things that he circled heading into this week against Jacksonville that he wants to see the defense do? Because you would think five takeaways, two touchdowns just by the defense alone, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely stopping the run. I think that goes for any game. We definitely got to stop the run and put ourselves in situations to rush the passer, you know, do what we do in those situations. So I think, you know, we got to get physical and stop the run and then put ourselves in the situations that he wants us to, and so we can get after the quarterback.
Yeah, Marinelli always talks about earning the right to rush the passer.
Right.
And you make a team one-dimensional by shutting down the run, and there's a pretty good running back in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And to be honest with you, we We didn't come out of that game feeling like, you know, how you guys felt. To be honest with you,
That's what I've
she
noticed.
and
See,
I and the D line, we left that game pretty sad, to be honest with you. And
So give me an example. Like, because obviously you guys, you watch the video critically. So what did you see? And all you can do is really talk about yourself and your positions. So what did you see that maybe we missed?
Just our awareness of and our pass rush wasn't up to par compared, you know, compared to the previous week, and especially knowing who we're going against. And we hold ourselves to such high standards that, you know, some other teams in this league would have been satisfied with getting the win and just being happy with that. But that's not us. You know, we're trying to win the championship here. And our performance definitely that night wasn't good enough for us as far as on our grading scale for a championship team.
I'm guessing, you know, when it comes to you, Shea, there was that one play where I could be wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but maybe the pursuit angle wasn't what it needed to be, right?
On the reverse,
Yes.
no, I just got juked a little bit, honestly. You know, I was there, I was in position, I just got to finish and make the play, really. So,
Right.
so things like that are what you're talking about.
Exactly,
It's just little things.
right. Because once you feel like, you know what, well, you know, they didn't get anything out of it, that's when your performance starts declining. You know, if you accept those things. And you know, that's, I think that's the same thing that we would tell kids that we talk to in, you know, high school and in college, that, you know, to strive and want to be the best, you have to not be able to, you can't accept those type of, you know, those
Can never be
performances.
satisfied,
Right.
basically. So
Shea McClellan, Amobi Okoye, our guest here, and you can make a great case for that, because when you look at last year's Super Bowl champion, you know, you can make a case the Giants were the best defensive line in football a year ago.
Right.
It starts up front. Those takeaways that you guys are able to generate as a defense, it starts when the front four are making the quarterback get rid of the ball before he wants to.
Yeah, and you know, I know a couple of those guys on that D line, and you know, I don't think they can touch us this year. You know, we're working on it though. We're working on
That's a big statement there
it.
from Amobi Okoye. Now, and I do want to ask, because this is something that we didn't expect you to be here. You know,
Right.
you were supposed to be in Tampa Bay right now.
Right.
Things didn't work out there. Why?
All I can say is I'm meant to be a Bear.
Right, but
You know, that's the truth. And you know, from day one when I got here, I noticed this team and the structure and the guys and the scheme and everything. I knew my heart's been here, and I wanted to come back. You know, after my 1 year deal, and unfortunately it didn't work out with me and the administration. So
Yeah, because I always get the question, hey, I thought the Bears wanted Amobi Okoye back. And that's
yeah,
true, they did. And you
right.
wanted to be here, but it didn't happen
Yeah,
initially.
you know, it's at the end of the day, it's a business, and you have to do what's best for you and your family. And you know, the Bears also have to do what's best for the organization and as a whole. And some way somehow that didn't gel at first. But after I went to Tampa, you know, and you know, we started back talking.
Right.
And it didn't work out with Tampa, and definitely I wanted out of there, and you know, they didn't want me there. As far as the head coach channel, they didn't want me there. And you know, it's always good to you know, it's like a divorce. It's not working. It's not working.
It worked well. Lovie Smith clearly wanted you. Rod Marinelli clearly wanted you. And they've
Certainly.
been big fans of yours since you were in college.
Right. And like, you know, those, I look at those guys as fatherly figures. And you know, that's one thing that I think, you know, a lot of teams and it's missing in a lot of teams in the NFL, because, you know, in college or in high school, you had a coach that you wanted to play for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of teams and players in this league, that kind of gets missing. And I'm lucky and appreciative to have that back, because that's the extra motivation factor when I step on the field, is because I want to do good for them as well. Not just for me alone, but also for them.
Okay, so that being said, if you had an opportunity to talk to a young guy right now, if you can get the money someplace else, maybe you don't like the situation 100%, but the money makes it worthwhile. Do you take that, or do you take a little less money
To
to
be,
go to a situation like this?
you have to evaluate the situation. You just have to evaluate and know what. To be honest with you, I've always known that money does not equal happiness. And you know, that's, you have to really find out what that value is of happiness. And you know, evaluated to see if it's worth the risk.
Now, speaking of how you end up in the situation, throughout the weeks leading up to the NFL draft this past year, all we heard about were all the defensive ends that were being talked about, and very few people mentioned Shea McClellan with the Bears as a combination. I want to know when you knew that you were going to be a Bear. We'll find out next with Shea McClellan and Amobi Okoye right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Join the Bears for a ladies' night out at Soldier Field on October 29th. Meyer Football 101 presented by Chase. Visit ChicagoBears.com to purchase tickets. Zach Zaidman pleased to be joined by Amobi Okoye and Shea McClellan here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Before we get to how Shea McClellan became a Bear, do you guys want to play the Gibson's Player of the Game? You got to help one of your teammates out here. This is the way we do it. The Gibson's Player of the Week is brought to you by Gibson's Bar and Steakhouse. The player we select will receive a $500 gift card to Gibson's. And for helping pick that player, guys, each of you gets a $100 gift card to Gibson's, the best meal in town. So I need your vote this week. And obviously it was a very impressive performance against the Cowboys. So there are a lot of different candidates here. So we can go with Major Wright, who had two of the five Bears interceptions in that game. Jay Cutler, 140 passer rating, lit it up in the second half. Brandon Marshall, another big game, had a touchdown. There's Lance Briggs, who showed Devin Hester-like speed on his pick six, right?
Mm-hmm.
Henry Melton, who had just a huge sack in the first series. And then obviously had the I thought he had a sack that helped lead to the Briggs pick six. And we'll get to that in a second. There's Peanut Tillman. I mean, this guy is Mr. Takeaway. He had a pick six. Mm-hmm. So who do you think had the most impressive game out of the guys that I mentioned? Debate amongst yourselves.
Man, I'm just a rook.
You're allowed. You're allowed.
Tough. Should we be biased or should we really?
Yeah, I know. I don't know, man. So if we're being biased, then.
If you're being biased, who would you pick?
Of course, Henry.
Okay, because he's part of the defensive line. Right. If you're looking at it, say you're looking at it from afar. Mm-hmm. You're just watching the game between two teams that you have no emotional attachment to. Who would you say was the most impressive player in that game?
I'll probably go with Charles, just because I think that was a turning point in that game, you know. And then just the awareness, because a lot of cornerbacks, you know, don't play like that. They would actually play the receiver, and he knows exactly. You know, you can tell he's a veteran. He's a Pro Bowl player. He knew exactly when to turn, and then obviously see that there was a miscommunication amongst the quarterback and the receiver, you know. So I think that was a big momentum swing in the game, and if I was just from afar, I would probably, you know, look into that.
Shay?
If I was from afar, you know, a lot of people pay attention to the offense, so I'd probably say Jay Cutler. You know, he did a great job passing all night, you know, and if I was looking at it, I'd probably say him. So
now when you combine the two, where would you go? You got to make a decision here. One of your teammates is going to like you an awful lot after this.
Right.
All right. And let's make a decision.
I think we should choose the person that we're in the room with a lot.
Let's go.
I think I agree with you with Charles Tillman. I think we should give it to Peanut, only because the game was in the balance at that point.
Right.
And it was a huge game changer. Right. You know, and it's not just the veteran move to understand that there was a miscommunication, but the great hands to catch
exactly.
that ball.
Exactly.
And then you look at his career, 31 interceptions, 30 forced fumbles. He's football's 30-30, man. So
yeah, right.
Charles Tillman gets the $500 gift card to Gibson's, right. And for helping him out,
good job. Good
you guys
job.
Both
good
get
job,
a $100 gift
word.
Card. All right, let's talk a little bit about Shea McClellan here, because I think it was fascinating. When you were picked, a lot of people were like, you know, what's going on here? Isn't this a guy who's more of a 3-4 guy than he is a 4-3? When did you know that there was more than just legit interest, that you were going to end up here with the Bears?
Honestly, I didn't know until I got the call. I did do a workout previous, before the draft, you know, a couple weeks before the draft with Mike Fair, the assistant D-line coach. And, you know, I thought, you know, maybe they want me, or, you know, maybe it's a cover-up, because a lot of teams do that. You know, I really didn't know. It's hard, you know, it's hard for us to know when we're doing that. But I didn't know until I got the call.
And did you think you were going someplace else? Just based on the interest, the calls that you were getting?
Yeah, I thought I might be going somewhere else. Just, you know, like you're saying, the interest, the calls, you know, I thought I'd, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be a 3-4 or a 4-3 because I had a you know, both teams look, you know, both those teams look at me. So,
and then you end up here, and this is a big city. You know, the guy grew up on a place called Chicken Dinner Road, right? Am I right
yep,
on that?
Yep, Chicken
I
Dinner
mean,
Road.
So that gives you an idea of the small town in Boise that you're from. And what I find interesting is, when you got here, that initial press conference when you were introduced to the media, everyone's asking you about the size of Chicago. And did it really make any sense at that point?
No, not at all. You know, I grew up in a small town, but I really consider myself a big city guy.
You're sophisticated.
I do. You know, I've traveled a lot. You know, I've been out of the country, been to Europe, been to Australia. You know, I like the big city, so it's for me, it's not really that much of a change.
So people tried to stereotype you as a certain,
yeah.
But you kept quiet. You didn't, but it must have bothered you.
A little bit, you know, just because, you know, everyone's, you know, like you're saying, categorizing me as a farm boy, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm, you know, I did grow up on a farm. You know, I love the farm. I love it. It's, you know, it's peaceful out there. It's not, you know, big buildings, you know, traffic, none of that, so.
Yeah, the traffic. I don't care how sophisticated you get in the big city. You can never get used to the traffic.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm sure bugged you is when people, early on, the first few practices, I think the first week of training camp, people all of a sudden started to label you as though, uh-oh, you know, maybe he doesn't have it. And yet they didn't even give you a chance to kind of grow into your role, grow as a player. I mean, right from the get-go, that must have driven you crazy.
I did, but you know, at the same time, you can't pay attention to the outside noise. You just got to do your thing, and you know, not pressure yourself, not listen to anything. Just worry about what you're doing, and you know, working on getting better.
What was the thing that you know, when from the time that you first put on the Bears practice uniform, kind of worked your way through the off-season workouts to training camp? What was the thing that you knew right away? Oh man, I really have to pick up this part of my game.
A little bit of everything, really. You know, everything's not perfect. There's always, I think, definitely technique and, you know, that kind of thing was one of the big things I looked at.
You know, you were so young, Amobi, when you joined the league. Can you relate to what Shea was going through?
Certainly. A lot of things, all the way to the last game. you know, and just, and I try to do my job as a veteran and just trying to help him out wherever I can. And,
Now, is he just saying that, or is he?
No, he helped me out. So he helped me out last game, actually, against the Cowboys.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he did. He did.
In what way? Come on, share.
Nah, man, it's between us.
Yeah.
You don't want the Jaguars to know, I'm guessing.
Nah, but I know, like you said, I was a rookie, and then that again, I was a rookie at 19. And so I know a lot of the pressure and a lot of things, especially as a first rounder and, just, you know, just having a performance. So whenever I can step in and help out, you know, I feel like it's my duty to do that.
Amobi Okoye is here, show Shea McClellan, and this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sometimes I think I'm gonna drown. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zabeman with Shea McClellan and Amobi Okoye. And guys, this is one of our most popular segments on the show. It's called Are You a Bears Authority? Now, Amobi has played this before. Shea, you haven't. It's essentially a trivia game where you play for a fan. So here's the way it works. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit the buzzer that's in front of you here on the desk. It sounds like this, I think. Right? And the first person to hit the buzzer, I call on you. You get a chance to answer the question. If you get it right, we move to the next question. If you get it wrong, the other guy has an opportunity to answer the question. And whoever's got the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Amobi, you're going to be playing for Sammy Akers from Chicago. And Shea, you're going to be playing for Perry Theodorus from Crown Point, Indiana. And if you're listening right now and you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN, click on the Bears All Access page, where you can also listen to all of our shows. You guys ready for this?
Sammy, yep, I'm going to do my best, Sammy.
Oh, man, here we go. So Shea is playing for Perry, and Amobi's playing for Sammy. Here we go. Question number one. What team did Bears quarterback Jason Campbell play for?
My bad. I went too fast.
So, Amobi, you got to answer the question.
Uh-oh. Oh, you can't finish the question?
Not okay. Family Feud, man. Come on.
Okay, Redskins.
Incorrect. So, Shay, would you like me to finish
yes.
the question?
All right. you wanted two right.
I know, right?
He does.
I was hoping he said who he drafted.
Yeah.
What team did Bears quarterback Jason Campbell play for the year before he became a Bear?
Oakland Raiders.
Yes. So, Shay McClellan off to a flying start, a 1-0 lead over Amobi and Sammy. All right. Question number two.
Sorry, Sammy.
What year was Brian Urlacher drafted in? Amobi.
Okay, so this is his 13th year.
Hey, you were going to Harvard.
All right, so that makes it, 2001?
Oh,
incorrect.
I'm sorry, my math is so bad right now.
1999?
Incorrect.
2000, right.
Yeah. So.
No, because you got to count the first extra season when you got drafted.
That one gets it right. Okay.
Sorry, Sam.
Here we go. You get an opportunity here. Question number three. And again, the lead right now for Shay McClellan and Perry from Crown Point, Amobi and Sammy trail. Question number three. What round of the draft was Brian Urlacher taken in? I cannot believe it's taken this long for someone to hit Amobi.
Was he in the first round?
Yes.
No. Yeah, what?
It's Brian Urlacher. Come on.
I didn't know.
I mean... Yes, Brian Urlacher was a first-round pick in 2000 and eventually became the face
like
of the franchise.
16th
Although,
or something?
No, he was, I think, the eighth overall pick of
really?
The draft that year. Yeah, I think he was picked right after Thomas Jones, who was drafted seventh overall and right before Plexico Burress.
Yeah, I was still in high school.
Yeah, that's really? I would have thought you were in college by then. You must have been nine, right? All right, so right now... This is a 1-1 game between Shay McClellan and Amobi Okwue. Things are beginning to heat up here. Now, you better know the answer to this question. It's about a guy in your room, in the Rushman room. Question number four. In what year did Julius Peppers have his highest defensive sack total for a season? Amobi.
Go ahead.
3.
I think that was in 2005.
Incorrect. Might as well take a guess.
Yeah,
he had 14 and a half sacks that year.
2003.
Incorrect. 2008. I know he's old, but, I mean, he's not that old. All right, question number five. Game tied at one.
Sorry,
question
Pam.
Number five.
I don't know.
Where did Major Wright play his college ball? Shay.
Oh, man.
Florida.
Yes.
He was on TV today. with Timo.
And he's on the radio now. All right, question number six. Shay McClellan, a 2-1 lead over Amobi Okwue in a very close game. Question six. At what college did Bears defensive line coach Mike Fair play linebacker his junior and senior? Shay.
Arizona State.
Oh, man. Shay McClellan
yes.
has won the game.
Damn, Sammy, sorry.
There is one more question, but mathematically, you are eliminated. Just for pride, do you want me to throw it out there?
Yeah.
All right, where did Lance Briggs play his college ball?
What the?
Shay.
Arizona.
Yes. So Shay would have blown you away. A 4-1 victory.
You're
for,
right,
for
get
Shay
off
McClellan.
Killing me right now.
And Perry Theodorus from Crown Point, Indiana, wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority. We thank you guys for playing. And I want to
hold on. Sammy, yes. I think something was wrong with my buzzer.
Try it. No, there was nothing wrong with the buzzer, Sammy. I just wanted to make sure everything was on the level. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. It's your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Truth be told, during the break before we started the game, Shay thought he wasn't going to get anything right.
I know, right?
I mean,
two years in a row I've lost.
And you had a little bit of a swagger, Amobi. You
did. I didn't answer. I didn't even ring the bell first five questions.
It's part of that veteran thing. I'm trying to help the rookie. You know,
thanks, man.
Hey,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, we haven't let's talk a little football here because we mentioned Maurice Jones-Drew a little bit earlier, but we didn't talk about why it's so difficult to bring him down. I heard Urlacher say that, you know, because he's shorter than me, so he's not a really tall guy, but he's built. So he's got great balance. How do you go about stopping a guy like that?
I was in Houston, you know, obviously for 4 years, and in the same division, and played him twice a year. And what we used to call him was the golden bowling ball. That's what it feels like when you're tackling him, because he's, you know, he's all this power packed up, and you know, and then just keeps rolling. And to be honest with you, the guy like that, you just got to get a lot of hats on him, and one grab the feet, one grab.
Yeah, think about it. A guy that small, you can't do it one-on-one. You need help.
Yeah.
You got to game tackle for sure. You got to get guys running to the ball.
That's why.
And he led the league in rushing last year, right?
Yeah, a big-time player a year ago. He's been a big-time player his entire career. Exactly. Shane McClellan and Avobi Okoye talking some football with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bears Insider brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and Bears head coach Lovie Smith. Bears Monday nights at 7 p.m. on News Radio 780 WBBM and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, along with Avobi Okoye and Shane McClellan. I'm Zach Zabin, and this is Bears All Access. You know, we were talking about Rod Marinelli earlier in the show, and I think one of the things that's been really impressive this season isn't necessarily all the takeaways and just the 3-1 record, but it's, to me, everyone on the defensive line contributing. I feel like for the first time since Julius Peppers became a Bear, everyone around him on that D-line is taking advantage of, and I don't think I'm wrong on this, nearly every snap there's double attention paid to Peppers, right?
Yeah, basically, right. Yep.
I mean, the guy is 6'6", 295, and running the 4.6.
Faster than a DB, you know.
You better pay attention to him.
Yeah, you got to.
So, without a doubt, but it's our job also, again, to make sure we can put him in the best situation because we can take advantage of his, you know, his God-given talents to do what he can do. So that's what we try to do.
Now, you would think it's easy, but it's not easy. It involves a lot of practice time together. It involves, I guess the most important thing is understanding where the extra guy that's coming to help on Peppers is coming from. And if you can quickly identify that, then you guys know exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, that too. And at the same time, it's kind of making the offense pick their poison as far as, you know, do you want to double him and, you know, leave other talented guys to go make plays, or do you want to actually let him, you know, work his craft? So that's pretty much it.
Right, and he can play. I mean, you talked about it. You guys were joking that he could play defensive back. Actually, I don't think you were joking. He probably could. I think Lovie Smith said that if he needed to play safety in a pinch, you could probably do it.
Yeah.
And I think there are times where, you know, maybe you should throw him in on the offensive line because there's nothing the guy can't do on the football field at any point.
Honestly.
But the thing that I really like, yeah, I mean, he can play basketball. So,
yeah, right.
You know, the thing that I like is that they keep moving him around on the line.
Yeah.
And, boy, imagine if you're an offensive lineman the night before a game. You know, with most teams, you kind of know who you're going to go up against. But this guy, I mean, if you're playing the Bears, every lineman's going to bed that night thinking, oh, man, it might be just one play, but I'm going to be going up against Julius Peppers, and I don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good to get those looks, though, you know, because it's hard for that. You know, it's hard for offensive linemen to get in rhythms because they don't know who they're going up against. You know, they don't know if they're going against Peppers or Adonijé or Henry or Amobi, you know, so it's always – it's good to move everyone around in different situations and, you know, so they don't get in rhythms.
You got to love it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because you're going to get opportunities because of it.
Yes, without a doubt. It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's an opportunity, you know, to play all positions.
So when you, as you know, because as of right now, you've kind of, for the most part, been a pass rushing specialist, at least early on. So you know going in, do you study exactly what they do? Do you kind of know, based on the situation in the game, how Julius is going to be kind of paid attention to help you
for out? The most part, yeah. And I think, you know, like you were saying, they're going to try to double him or chip him however they can. So, you know, we're having the singles, so we got to take advantage of that because if we don't, you know, they're just going to keep doing that. So.
Now, you guys have the shirts in the room. I guess it's Marinelli's idea. 4 is 1.
4 equals 1.
4 equals 1, yep.
You know, there's 4 pass rushes rushing for 1.
Meaning, for people who don't understand what that means, obviously it's 4 is 1, but there's a rhythm to it. There's a method to the madness, so to speak.
Yeah. You want to take this?
It's just basically meaning, you know, we got to rush together, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's the basic meaning of it.
Understanding your rush lanes. You know,
understanding whatever.
Understanding your rush lanes, understanding, kind of feeding off of each other. And that's what has been building since Peppers has been here for the last 3 years, you know. And, you know, especially this last two, with all the same faces, all the same guys kind of playing together.
Is that how you're able to have success against, I mean, because you face Aaron Rodgers, you know, Tony Romo's another guy, guys that use their legs to extend plays.
Mm-hmm.
But against the Bears defensive line, they've kind of been hemmed in. They haven't had an it's called contain.
Right.
They haven't been able to break it.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Making sure that you know, he's they're in the pocket. You want to take these guys who can get out of the pocket and make plays and keep them right there.
You want to put the quarterback in his uncomfortable situation.
Yes. Yep. Getting rid of the ball before they want to get rid of the ball and getting hit.
Right.
That's the best part. But again, you stop the run, you're able to do that. So that's usually the key with the Bears defense. Now on the flip side, something that in the past never really happened around here.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have defensive players on the show and we'd start talking about the Bears offense. They didn't want to talk about the Bears offense. You know, they were kind of being polite. Not this year. All the Bears defenders are talking about the Bears offense because you guys see those weapons. You practice against these guys all throughout training camp. And I think it makes you better as a defense when you go up against a team that's got Pro Bowl running back Matt Forte, Pro Bowl receiver Brandon Marshall, Pro Bowl caliber quarterback in Jay Cutler. We haven't even talked about Michael Bush, Alshon Jeffrey, Devin Hester's speed. I mean, it's definitely changed the way you guys go about business leading up to a game.
Of course, without a doubt. And like you said, you mentioned a lot of starters, and we have backups who are starters on this team.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think, that's the beauty of it and the ability to be able to, you know, compete against one another in practice and, you know, just get better at our craft.
Has that changed? Are there more competitions that take place on the practice field? Maybe not so much leading up to a game, but like from the off season through training camp compared to, say, when you were here a year ago?
Of course. When you have, you know, all these talents around, it only makes sense for each person to go hard and see how you compare and how you look against, because the person you're going against is good.
Right.
You know, so without a doubt.
Shea had that at Boise State. Man, those guys always used to score, and they had such gimmicky plays.
Yeah, and now when they were playing Louisville, though.
All right, we'll get to that coming up next. There is a little bit of a rivalry within the Rushman room between Shea McClellan here and Amobi Okoye. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered during the Bears Game Night live TV broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you will receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card, so use the hashtag BearsToyota. Shea McClellan and Amobi Okoye are guests here in our final segment here on Bears All Access. Boise State, what's that like?
It's great. It really is.
Blue turf. You guys, you're always looked at as the gimmicky school, but yet you beat the big boys with the exception of Louisville. But for the most part, I mean, you generally, you don't take a step back when you play the big boys, at least when you were there.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, all the trick plays, that was before, you know, Kellen and all, you know, all the other guys got there, you know. When, you know, my 4 years, we just played straight up and, you know, I think we did a good job and, you know, we beat the SEC teams, as everyone calls the big boys.
Right. Now, what I find interesting is that it must have gotten ugly, because when you're an SEC team or one of those big schools from the big conferences, there's a sense of swagger. And, mm-hmm. and Amobi knows this, even being in the Big East, there's a sense of swagger. And then when a team beats you that you're not expecting to beat you, there must have been a lot of, they don't go down lightly, right?
No, not at all. You know, there was a lot of swagger in those games, definitely when we played SEC teams. And, you know, actually a lot of, you know, bigger teams didn't want to play us. They didn't want to schedule us on their schedule. So, you know, that just goes to show what kind of team we were and, you know, that, you know, other bigger programs were afraid of us.
Did you guys play Virginia Tech? Was that the big?
Yeah, 2010.
A lot was made of that because it was rare to have such a big game against a big school that early in the season for Boise State.
Oh, yeah, it was. And, you know, for us, we wanted to schedule more, you know, bigger teams on the schedule. They just, you know, like I was saying, they just wouldn't do it. You know, we tried scheduling Florida, Ole Miss, you know, those teams, and they wouldn't. You know, they literally wouldn't. So it's hard for us to be in that situation. You know, we just got to play our games.
Is that how you knew, though, based on your individual performances against those schools? Is that how you knew, I can do this? I can do this at a really high level?
I mean, I think so. I mean, there was definitely good athletes, you know, in our division. You know, I'm not taking anything away from them, but, you know, there's bigger and really good guys in, you know, SEC, Big Ten, and whatever it is. So.
pretty cool. Now, Amobi Okoye went to – you were teammates with Michael Bush at Louisville.
Yep,
and
for
I don't
4 years.
You know, there was a time where Michael Bush was the premier quarterback in high school in the state of Kentucky. I mean, this guy was a superstar.
Yep.
And initially, I think Bobby Petrino told him that he would be a quarterback at Louisville.
Yeah.
But he didn't get that opportunity because you guys brought in somebody else.
Yes, and then, you know, we also had Brian Brohm who was coming up. And but he also wanted – we had Stephon LaForce, who was doing pretty good at the time too. And so he converted Mike into a running back. And he did great. He did great for us. And it was just unfortunate that he had that injury in our senior year.
Yeah, to his leg. He broke his leg. And Michael Bush at the time was – I mean, he was I think he scored
Heisman.
23 touchdowns
his
junior year.
Yeah.
Many thought he would leave school.
Right, decided to come back.
He likely would have been a high first-round draft pick.
Right.
He decided to come back, was a Heisman candidate.
Had 300 yards against Kentucky first game of his senior
year. In the first half, right?
In the first half.
And broke his leg. And that's why when people wonder, like, why does this guy have a chip on his shoulder? That's why.
Right.
You know, he came to Louisville as a quarterback. They didn't let him play quarterback. And you can understand why.
Of course.
Good move by Petrino. And then he was, I mean, as good as any running back in his age group at the time. And yet, for a variety of different reasons, whether it's in Oakland behind McFadden, here behind Forte, he's been relegated to a backup role. But he's not really he's more than just a backup.
Nah, he's definitely a starter. And it's definitely a starter and definitely hard to bring down, man. You know, the guy's a low, he's a big guy.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. He doesn't like being classified as just a
big guy. Big
guy,
right.
Yeah. I like that. I think the best football players are the ones that are hungry.
Of
got a
course.
Little bit of a chip. You know, I don't think, and again, I haven't played the game, but you guys know. It's when you're satisfied, it's tough to be a good
player. Taking
good
a downhill slope, man, as soon as you get satisfied.
Never satisfied. You know, if you're satisfied, you're never going to build, for sure.
Now, I know that one of the things that Lovie Smith told you guys before the start of the season is make this kind of the, you know, the only thing that a lot of the 30-year-olds haven't accomplished is winning a championship. What's funny is I was talking to Nick Roach about it, and he said, hey, young guys, we want to win too.
Exactly.
I mean, with all due respect to the 30-year-olds, I mean, we want to do this for us.
Without a doubt, you know, without a doubt. But it always, you know, people say, you know, obviously the younger guys, you have more time. But, you know, I mean, look at the older guys, you know. It's Lack has been there once, you know, and we certainly want to take him back there this year and win it this time for him and for Lovey and for Rod and for Julius and for Israel and, you know, all those guys because they're well-deserving of it, you know.
And when you know, because you've been around, it's hard for Shay to answer this because this is year one, but when you've been around for a little bit, you know when there's something special brewing and you don't want to screw it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you definitely know. You can see it. You can smell it. You can see it. You just like, you know, the guys around you, you can see how special we can be. You know, there's a story that we can tell. You know, there's a book that can be written about this season, and that's what's going to happen.
What's the every time I've asked any veteran about Shay McClellan, I think they always say, oh, he's quiet.
Oh, very humble guy. Very humble guy.
But are you really like that, or are you just playing the game year one because that's the right thing to do?
I am really like that. I'm quiet.
Stop
I'm really
lying.
Quiet.
No, but for example, last year when you were a senior, you know, the big man on campus, were you quiet?
Well, I mean, I knew all those guys, so, you know, I was kind of, you know, once you get to know me, I talk a little bit more and, you know, I'm more outgoing. But at first, I'm kind of, you know, reserved a little bit.
The right attitude to have.
Yeah.
Right. You weren't like that, Amobi.
I was. A little bit. Kind of, sort of.
Guys, it's been fun. Good luck in Jacksonville. Big game before the bye week begins. A chance to finish the first half sort of the season at 4-1. For Shay McClellan, Amobi Okoye, executive producer Greg Miller, Paul Zarango, helped us blast through the speakers of your radio and everyone in our downtown studios. I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access from Halas Hall. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Sports Authority and has been sponsored by Toyota and Verizon.